I think the audience question is really important, and it's interesting hearing you use the term distance about being somewhere that's very local. You know, it becomes local because you're there, and it becomes very familiar. But almost that counteracting the capacity to therefore make something of that. So therefore, you need to build in some kind of distance, whether that's bringing other people in, or you know, how do you step back from a place in order to be able to work with it? And I think coming here, walking around the common, and thinking, you know, so the parameters of the common are really clear when you look at on the map. And actually, when you're walking through the common, it's, you know, it's quite weird how, although it's, you know, presumably you can walk anywhere within it, not totally sure about that. But there's, I mean, when I was walking through it with Andrea, there was this very new barbed wire fence that didn't seem to quite make sense, and he was saying it's a little bit too, you know, they put it in the wrong place, but it's, you know, what's it keeping in and what's it keeping out? And so even within the common, there seems to be these very sort of clearly demarked spaces. And thinking about, you know, what the common represents for the people around and the, you know, land ownership, but also just how much, I mean, particularly in Britain, how much the rural is a kind of construct from other places. So, you know, I'm always hearing from people who are having to sort of allow the rural to look a certain way because it's, you know, natural England need it to look a certain way. And it's partly for, you know, you always, it seems, for an urban fantasy about what the rural should look like. So therefore, a farmer, I remember this in St. Ives with a farmer who we were doing something with, and he really wanted to generate his own power with a wind turbine, but wasn't allowed to because it was going to destroy, you know, disturb the view, and, you know, farmers who want to move dry stone walls because they're fallen down, and, you know, they would then have a function, they would have a kind of use value within the farm, but they're told not to because it's meant to look like that and it should look like that, and who are the people who have the decisions over that? So I'm always sort of, you know, I quite like the idea of being somewhere that seems kind of remote and free, and also thinking, but actually this is, you know, feeling this sort of odd sense of threat to it, that it's being, you know, the reason why it looks like that is because it's being very carefully preserved as that, because it fulfills a kind of fantasy or collective fantasy. And I think also here, what's strange is these, you know, these little sort of places dotted around that are networked with, you know, the AA site, and the fact that down at the bottom, you know, a few farms along is owned by the Bowdoin catalogue people. So, you know, and all of us, when we're, I think also it's through walking through the landscape and thinking how much you're, you know, your mind is there, but also it's networked to a whole load of other things that you're thinking about. So I think I in a slightly sort of neurotic, apocalyptic way, began thinking about this common, you know, this common land being potentially sort of available and invaded by these sort of you know, almost by the antithesis, so that you would have the, you know, someone would be trying to get planning permission to put a bank in the centre of it, and therefore, as I was as I was wandering around, lost, imagining this cycle courier who was sort of walking through the woods, you know, with the helmet on and the package, because actually somewhere there was a group of people who were testing out how the foyer would work for their new business somewhere within the commons. So people kind of anticipating that that a shortage of land would mean that all these places would be colonised at some point. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it's inevitable, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So, from those ideas, the thought about just doing these very small, kind of creating these very small intimate connections with little spaces within the common, which would be to film them, but very sort of small views, a series of them at various places within the common. And then to offer them as kind of cutaways for people to use So the idea of the common land as being something that could be commonly used, but as image. So therefore, was going to upload them to a BitTorrent site like Pirate Bay or IsoHunt, where, you know, which are normally used for people sort of illegally downloading feature films and music and things. So that suddenly it would have this potential for sort of international usage that people would then use a tiny little bit of, you know, a quivering leaf or something as a cutaway within their own film. But I also wanted to sort of map it onto another space, again with this idea of this sort of potential colonizing of the space, anyway, in, you know, within the imagination. So the this huge shopping mall that I've been walking around the last few days in Hong Kong, which is the largest shopping mall in Asia, and it's terrifying. And actually, you know, but I actually grew to quite like it because it was the only place that had, that was sort of comfortable to walk in, because actually outside it was so humid and incredibly hot. There was actually, it was too much. So I kept on going back into this awful sort of, you know, it's like a forest of shops. Anyway, in various locations within that space, I did sound recordings, kind of in odd little corners where people really weren't occupying so much, so odd little sort of service corridors and things. So I want to kind of give each of the bits of footage taken in the common these, to have the sound of this space, this Hong Kong shopping mall space. So there already is the idea that it's suddenly Palace.com and is kind of networked to this, you know, huge thing going on in the in other parts of the world. And I think it was the idea of kind of making the, you know, what I was imagining was the idea of making the common float through this upload, the idea of this uploading of things, that somehow it was going to give it this sort of vertical ability to sort of transcend its space and head off elsewhere. So also I was thinking about how you can track. I mean, it is easy, quite easy now to track. I mean, I know on things like YouTube, you can see, if anyone uploads anything to YouTube, you can see where people are looking at it.
Mm. Okay, so, where they're looking at it.
It's kind of it's a feature. It's there now. So it's really strange.
Is the past of that, or only current?
Is it live?
No, I think it's not live. I think it is just where in the past people have. So,
wow. Oh, so it's not like on Facebook where it says these friends are online now, kind of.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's more like,
I think from what I saw, because I've got four little clips of things on YouTube, and I found it really strange that on one of them, there seemed to be, I mean, I can't believe it's more than one, someone in Algeria who'd looked at it. Hmm. And then another one, someone in Morocco. So, like, how on earth, you know, why did that happen? I mean, obviously, with something like The Pickers, which is working with, you know, was working with Romanian migrant workers, there's, you know, Romania. And so you can understand through a sort of keyword search how someone would just, or the way people drift through YouTube might, you know, come across this thing sort of accidentally. But why, you know, the sort of Algerian and Moroccan division over, we'll watch this one, you watch that one.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking about how then this idea of sort of floating upwards and this, how the common would then be sort of dispersed outwards and tracking where, you know, what happened with that. So that's kind of where I've got to with it, really.
Are you thinking of the Mao in Hong Kong in a similar way? I mean, is that, does that float as a
that suddenly it's sort of enmeshed with this very particular finite space that you think it would never ever consider being connected to.
Yeah.
That there's no, you know, there's no ability or capacity for that to, for the Mal to be a man, but maybe the Mal does, you know, if you think that the Mal itself has a kind of unconscious, and maybe what, you know, what does the Mal dream about at night? Maybe it does, you know, it doesn't know it yet, but it's dreaming about this small common in Dorset.
It makes me think of all the goods as well, I have to say. The goods that are in Hong Kong, which goods do we share in our local Toy Master? Frosts, have you been to Frosts in Bridport?
No.
I think we'll have to do a trip. Yeah, just what other? How else is it networked? How else are we enmeshed? Because we really are.
Mm. Oh.
And you like to forget that when you go for a walk in the country, kind of, but... Or who's, you know, which farmers have been there, and I wonder, other layers.
I wondered whether the size of it matches the size of the common. You know, you said it was enormous, and I don't know what the physical space.
Well, also partly because it's very vertical as well, because there's very little space in...
On Hong Kong.
Exactly. So it's probably not, in terms of ground space, not very big.
Mm. But retail square meter is.
Retail square meters, because it's all stacked. Yeah.
Mm. And with the YouTube clips, what, you know, the enmeshing of the sound with the image?
Yeah.
Is that kind of forever connected? Or can the person downloading the clip for the film, do they have to have the quivering leaf with the sound that you've selected from the mull? Or can they... So that if they're fitting this clip into their film, it kind of comes as those things enmeshed and co-joined, kind of for definite.
No, I think it's completely vulnerable at that point to, you know, whatever people want to do with it. Yeah. I mean, I can't see, you know, who.
But they're presented in the first case as being that sound with that image when the remote person first.
Mm.
Comes across it.
Yeah.
Of course, they could delete it. Delete one or other thing, but I was just curious whether you kind of create those
I think it's
of sort of common and mal as.
Mm. I think no. I mean, the way I anticipated it is that it is completely vulnerable to them, you know, removing the sound and working, or maybe just using the sound. And scrapping the image. Mm. But I think what, you know, in terms of thinking about a local audience, I think I quite like the idea that people's access to it, say in Bridport, would be to have to go to this, you know, to Pirate Bay or something, and, you know, to download this thing, that suddenly this common land, you know, this supposedly common land is part of this other common, you know, this...
Mm.
Digital common land, and is suddenly in this very, very sort of, you know, with millions and millions of users. Again, why anyone would necessarily come across it?
The quivering leaf.
Well, come across
the.
I mean, how people would accidentally come across it, or, you know, if people are looking for. I mean, I don't know whether people do offer libraries of cutaways there.
Mm. Yeah, is there such a thing already? Did I mention on my email that a friend was mentioning to me that he's discovered something on the web which I'd never heard of, maybe you know about it, where you outsourcing work to using the internet, so you can get like you've got to translate your catalogue, the British Art Show, into 5 languages. You don't get it done in Britain, you get it done in Brazil by a housewife in wherever.
That's what Bruno, you know, does then.
Does he? Okay.
So then
your work is made via that channels. But then you get it back. So I'm curious, my question to you is, are you going to get it back? Do you want to get it back? What is it? That's not what, like,
I'd be quite
what
curious
they
about
might
that,
make.
Or, but I think it's, I mean, I think the idea is more that it's just sort of there, dormant.
Yeah.
It has the capacity to be.
Well, it's
used.
Like the woods, but isn't it? Waiting to have the firewood. Chopped off it. That's how I thought about it as well. In the common.
Yeah.
Go and get your bit of firewood for the winter.
Well, I know...
From the common. Yeah.
I mean, to do that?
Not anymore.
No.
They sort of... Have you seen they have piles where they little notes saying, take some, but it's very different to the original
use of a car. I've seen the piles of wood, but I didn't know. I thought they were part of the land management rather than an offering.
No, they're offered. I've seen them offered. I don't know if it was on a moment, but it's not the same as when everyone used to go up there
and just collect
and get their wood. Mm-hmm. It's not the same.
And what about the grazing?
Well, yeah, no, not anymore. It's all done as conservationist. They've got farmer.
So if you took a llama there,
go for it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, diverging, but.
Mm.
Interesting.
You can take your llama, but not. No, you can take your dog for a walk, but not your llama.
To leave the llama in the car park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you come to this idea in the first instance? What was the kind of what was the kind of first sort of trigger that?
I think it's
because it's quite.
I think it's going back to when Anna was saying about the kind of local and distance, about which is also my experience of, you know, living somewhere not quite so rural at all. But, you know, and partly I went there for, you know, I moved to Whitstable partly to get a kind of distance on, you know, on the city or on my own art practice, on the art world, to have a kind of space. And distance, and then also sort of being in a place which I find incredibly inspiring, but also I'm always kind of resisting the kind of insidious nature of the fact that I just started, you know, because there are lots of people around who are there who you know, do paintings of beach huts and stuff the whole time, and thinking, I have to define myself as being different from that. And then realising sort of increasingly that I was doing all this work that involved, you know, the sea and stuff, and thinking, oh God, I've become one of those kind of artists. And trying to sort of fight that back, and therefore thinking, well, how much, you know, this is still, it's about this local place, but it's kind of folding this local place into my experience of it, and my experience of the kind of local politics, and by also how it's permeated with all this stuff from, you know, that, you know, from a distance. So therefore, that, you know, my interest is in the strawberry farm nearby that happens to be to have this huge, you know, workforce of migrant workers. And actually, as the EU borders change, you know, it's changed from Polish, Lithuanian, Latvians to Romanian, Bulgarians, and, you know, so the experience of this would be partly coming from, I don't know, I remember being in the local Tesco's, this huge Tesco's, a bit like the massive shopping mall in Hong Kong, and it's suddenly being full of all these Polish workers who, because they're all taken in this little minibus from the it's terrible, because the, you know, Tesco's buys the strawberries, but it also puts on these free vans so that all the workers spend all their money in the Tesco's, but it was very, very strange. Just suddenly hearing, because that idea of hearing other languages obviously is something that you get the whole time in a city, but you know, not there. So it was very strange feeling that a place that was local and felt like it was part of a kind of, you know, the expectation is it's a sort of monoculture and it's sort of holds white, British, and yet suddenly was a, you know, a farm with a signage in Russian, which I found really, really peculiar and kind of incredibly exciting because of that feeling of it being somehow folded over into this other space somewhere else in the world, and because it was so unexpected. So, yeah, I think it comes from.
And just then thinking that. About how you would access this work. That's kind of an interesting sort of image of this folding this piece of material, maybe. I'm just thinking about the idea of the map and the way that you've kind of you've produced the work, and if there is some way to kind of, or could be, you could create a map that is folding out, and there's got, I don't, yeah, I'm just thinking of something very visual in that way, that this is where you go to, but this is actually kind of the analogy to the work as well. This kind of folded out sort of system that perhaps shows the system that you're kind of where the work is actually going, exists in.
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of visualise the idea of this sort of, you know, uploading and downloading of part of a common as a kind of digging or you know, but also as a kind of arc of transference of a place.
Mm.
So I think the fact that it feels like it's very much embedded in within land, in very specific patches of land. But it's kind of creating this arc to these other people elsewhere in the world. And then also sort of empathising with how it would be to feel that, you know, to be living somewhere around here and to realise that this arc is sort of going on around you, in spite of you.
I think farmers, land, people on the out in the country in the winter spend a lot of time online. It's kind of interesting, you know. Really, I mean, my time online is massively more living
is
away
it?
From.
Yeah.
Yeah, for lots of different reasons. Yeah, massively. Kind of not a very nice aspect of rural life, actually. But yeah, I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure a lot of people spend time more than you would, in the city, shopping. Even if it's just shopping and entertainment, you know.
Well, actually, it's interesting
that you know, in a way, people will see what if you do that. People are going to see it online.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that there's the same farmer in. You know, in between St Ives and Zenor, he was complaining about Natural England dictating what he did in his... was saying that he finds so little time to farm now because he has to spend so much time online...
Filling in forms. Mm. Oh, yeah, there's that as well. That's
the downside.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be really interesting to find out what people do with this material thing.
It's very tantalising.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of thinking, well, what's going to be made of the quivering leaf, to speak?
Well, it is really.
I'd
want to
know. You do too.
Can you barter? Could you barter in some way, just on a trust system, like an honesty box? You know, that if they take that footage, they've got to repost it with a link back to it, or I don't know how those sorts of systems would work. But people who want other people to see their work want as many links as they can get, don't they? So whether just the system of adding a link would enable you to access what they're doing, but for them, they would also kind of add into your network of links for their viewers.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's a sort of, some kind of exchange or barter that it would have to be on a trust system, I think.
I think it would have to be on a trust system.
Unless
but it's a very strange...
PayPal,
I mean, I'm still...
You.
Start paying people
a nominal
I'm sure
fee
people
to
would post their stuff. You know,
once they love to do that.
Yeah.
We'd want to see it. Yeah, I think everyone would want to see it. Which doesn't mean that they have to see it by any means.
Well, it is funny, isn't it? Because people are more and more used to the idea of, you know, you're expected to, you buy something online, you're expected to give feedback, aren't you? To kind of report on the experience. But then there is all this stuff, you know, I find it totally baffling why, I mean, I always imagine they're teenage boys, would kind of rip a copy of a DVD and then upload it. And then lots of people are, you know, thousands and thousands of people are then downloading that. And, you know, but what is that act about? Is it? I can't be about sort of defying the big Corporations. I mean, there's obviously a bit of that.
Is it just really about an act?
Yeah, is it that?
Oh, shit.
Is it feelings like
technical prowess, isn't it?
Is it one of power of feeling responsible for, you know?
I think people just want to share stuff.
Yeah.
But how can communicate?
But how do people share in that way before?
They might mix tapes to each other.
Mixed tapes,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But a mixtape you give to one. You know,
yeah,
one
that's aimed
friends.
At a specific person. But I think that when they do it, maybe they're just thinking of their peer group, that they can then go with their peer group and say, I've uploaded, if you haven't seen it, I've uploaded it. And then they get kudos for, you uploaded a really good movie. Thank you for that. And
maybe
they all
feel like friends in the same way that people will have, 4,000 Facebook friends who they've never met and never will. It's just the idea that you are now a part of this.
I think it's easy to forget because it's been, it sort of happened sort of quite quickly, really. But that's a contradiction. But anyway, it's exponential, the amount, the numbers of people that you can share stuff with that you just couldn't do it before.
Mm.
You know, I mean, a chain letter was pretty damn communicative in the past. Just couldn't do it. You didn't have conference calls even with your mates, did you? I mean, you just didn't have that. The school playground or the youth club or the whatever was the biggest congregate, or going to a gig with loads of, thousands of people.
You had to be there physically.
That's right. And you couldn't actually. You weren't communicating with those people in that way.
It's interesting, this idea of this bit of land that's going to be looked at and used in other different ways, by people around the world, and then how that it relates to the local people who live here as well. I was just thinking about this collective, Ava and Franco Matas. We've just worked on a commission with them, and you might need to edit this to admit to the fact that we've actually done this. They hacked people's computers and downloaded their music and their photographs, like exactly
personal,
like News of the World have done.
How did they do that?
You can do it.
Easy.
You can go onto your network and just find your network and then just hack into your computer. There's like a P system, maybe the same kind of might be the sort of same like sort of pirate systems you're kind of looking at, but it's a software, and it was originally for music to break into, to basically download music illegally but without people seeing. So to hack into computers, but there's a flaw in this software that allows you to hack actually into the computer and download whatever you want. So they've basically hacked into the computer, downloaded the photographs and downloaded the music, and then created a portrait of these images of these people with their music, and it's a film.
So, who are the people?
Ava and Franco Matas.
No, but who are the people they hacked into?
They don't know.
But people in Plymouth, or
when you say that,
people in Plymouth, could be people in New York, could be somebody in Barcelona. They don't know. They just basically they don't know whose computer. They don't have a permission or they.
But how do they make the selection?
They just go into a space and then just hack anywhere. So, like, they could be outside hacking into Anna's computer.
How local
to... Oh,
so
I see,
they have to be physically near. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
So they do know that if they're in Alaska, they're going to be getting Alaskan people and their music.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So they have to be near...
There's a proximity thing, like sitting outside in the car and... Being hopping onto someone else's Wi-Fi, that type.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's about Wi-Fi network, is it?
Yes, it is. It's about a Wi-Fi network because you use a Wi-Fi network to see your hard drive.
Far out.
But you can hack it. People
really
hack into systems the other side
all
of the
time.
World.
Yeah,
they
do. Yeah, there is probably something that I don't actually know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we'll delete all of that, Paula.
Yeah. Admitting to that, actually, we've allowed this piece of work to exist.
You can't.
Yeah, how are you going to do that?
Well, we already have.
You'll be up there with Rupert Murdoch.
We've shown it.
Oh.
In Sight Gallery.
You have?
Yeah, nobody's picked
up. Sight Gallery?
In Sheffield.
Sheffield. Mm. And what was the reaction?
The reaction so far is only by one board of trustee that's resigned.
What, as a result?
As a result.
Really?
Well, don't agree ethically.
Ethically, don't agree.
Wow.
Yeah.
But well,
it's interesting ethics. I mean, I don't agree with this work at all in respect of the ethics of it, because of other material they potentially have found. I don't know if they have, but
like bank details and all that stuff.
Yeah, or paedophiles. Really horrible side of people's. And then there's the aspect if they would show this material actually that is very. Very
good timing.
Can you identify
I know.
So when did they show it?
It's on now.
That's just amazing.
Wow.
So it's not advertised that it's how it's been made.
Advertised
or,
how?
Can I just?
Yeah.
That's